In order to fulfill my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens, the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord.
A lack of enthusiasm for international structures has been a defining motif of the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump. It may seem, after more than 3 years on the job, that there are no treaties left for him to abrogate. On Trump's watch, the United States has withdrawn, or begun withdrawing from, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, the Paris Climate Change Agreement, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, NAFTA, a trade deal with South Korea, the UN Human Rights Council, UNESCO, and the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action on Iran. Apologies to anyone omitted, we don't have all day, etc. The next candidate for the shredder may be the Open Skies Treaty, known to its friends as OST. Persistent reports from Washington, D.C. suggest that both Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Secretary of Defense Mark Esper favor withdrawing the U.S. from the OST. It seems likely that they will have their way. All they need do, on established form, is tell Donald Trump that it binds the US to cooperation with other countries and was signed by a president other than himself. Before we get to the US's potential reasons for wanting out of the OST, a look at what the OST actually is, because it is, in many respects, one of the most marvelous and audacious diplomatic enterprises in modern history. The OST allows the 34 countries which have ratified the treaty, Kyrgyzstan has signed but not yet ratified, the weirdos, to conduct, with remarkably little warning, unarmed reconnaissance flights over each other's territories in order to monitor military activities. There are, inevitably, a plethora of pernickety provisions about notice periods, permitted photographic paraphernalia, and so on, but in essence, the OST is a framework for licensed mutual espionage. The idea goes all the way back to the American presidency of Dwight Eisenhower, who suggested something of the sort in 1955 to build trust between the US and the Soviet Union.
Here I want to show you a picture. This is a photograph of the North Island Naval Air Station in San Diego, California. It was taken from an altitude of more than 70,000 feet. But the white lines in the parking strips around the field are clearly discernible from 15 miles up, 13 miles up.
President George H.W. Bush revived the idea in 1989 and signed the treaty in 1990. It came into force under the administration of his son, President George W. Bush, in 2002.
And as President Eisenhower put it, convince the world that we are lessening danger and relaxing tension. President Eisenhower's suggestion tested the Soviet readiness to open their society. And the Kremlin failed that test. Now, let us again explore that proposal, but on a broader, more intrusive and radical basis, one which I hope would include allies on both sides.
The unlikelihood of the setup can be grasped by pairing off some of the historical, actual, and potential foes who are parties to the OST and therefore entitled to overfly each other. Greece and Turkey, Georgia and Russia, Ukraine and Russia, Belarus and Russia, Poland and Russia, Finland and Russia, Estonia and Russia, Latvia and Russia, Lithuania and Russia, and you may at this point be on the verge of discerning the basis for the United States' unease with the arrangement. As recently as December, a Tupolev Tu-154M jetliner belonging to the Russian Air Force conducted surveillance flights of American military bases out of Great Falls, Montana.
An unarmed Russian spy plane made a low flight over parts of the District of Columbia and New Jersey, where the president is vacationing at his golf club, and U.S. defense officials say it was perfectly legal.
There are other reasons why the U.S. might want out of the OST, not all of them entirely stupid and self-defeating. One is the evolution of American satellite surveillance, which is getting closer to obviating the need for having the United States Air Force's knackered Boeing OC-135s, a variant of the Boeing 707, flying interminable laps of Russia and breaking down with worrisome frequency. There have also been plausible suggestions that Russia is being difficult about access to some of its airspace, notably that above the exclave of Kaliningrad and its puppet semi-states of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. America's departure would either prompt an equivalent flounce by Russia, and therefore probably the complete collapse of the treaty, or allow Russia to continue merrily overflying US bases in Europe, without the US getting any access to Russia in return. Not for the first time, Donald Trump's actions seem difficult to separate from Vladimir Putin's wishes. And this may not come to anything. A formal US exit from the OST couldn't take place until next year, by which time the decision could have been reversed by Trump's successor. But even if this is just a, well, another theatrical tantrum, it is a wretched reminder of the petty, paranoid past to which American foreign policy has been reduced. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.